Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Under the Radar with me, Sean Hughes. It's Australian Day here today. We've got two guests in. Explain yourselves.
Trevor Crook, infamous comic, from Adelaide, living in Sydney, married to an English woman, living in London.
Didn't want that much, Trevor. But and your good self?
And I'm Sarah Bonetto, also a comedian. Shall I start from my childhood and work forward like Trevor?
We'll do that during the show.
Sure.
The thing also we have today, Professor Bradley Avivar, who's flown in especially from Toronto to tell us how Christmas affects the lonely. How will you be spending Christmas, Trevor?
On my own. Quite ironic, isn't it? I hate Christmas. I've got no time for it.
I'm surprised.
Yeah,
Trevor,
you don't like
Christmas.
No, I don't like. I don't like buying presents. It's too much effort. But I don't expect presents in return. So I just like to stay home, watch cricket.
But you're in a relationship, though.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
You'll get her a present.
No, I won't. No.
And when you say on your own, she'll be in the room.
Yeah, she'll be in another room. Or I'll be in another room, and that's Christmas. We get on very well, though.
Is that pretty much all year round, though?
No. When we get together, we're very affectionate.
Is that at Easter time, is it?
Easter time and public holidays really get into it. But
Christmas is a public holiday.
Well, Christmas is a public holiday. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a religious holiday.
Well, it's Jesus' birthday. People forget
that. Oh, that's
that.
Right. Jesus was born. That was
so you can only get romantic on bank holidays, but not religious holidays? Is it because Jesus is watching?
Probably some Catholic guilt.
Well, it's more God. Yeah. Jesus doesn't get a mention after it. It's God's everywhere.
Right.
God's everywhere.
Jesus has been grounded.
Right.
And so, Sarah, I kind of know your Christmas, but tell the people.
I feel like you must be playing Scrabble.
I'm
here for balance, aren't I, really?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be... I'm wearing... Well, your listeners can't hear this, but I'm currently wearing Christmas tree earrings. Oh, I'm not. They're my other earrings. Wow, spoken
there's
like
no
a
edit in
the
show, so don't be doing stuff like that. Right?
No. But I do have Christmas tree earrings. I'm wearing a bright red sweater. I'm quite into Christmas, actually. Not the commercial side, not the gaudy side, just the...
Eating
board.
And
yeah,
kind
board
of
side.
Drinking.
Don't mind some carols as well. Yeah, I'm into it. Fairy lights. See, because I grew up in a very hot climate, like Trevor did. I came here and I'm like, oh, I get it now. Because back in Australia, we do try to do the traditional thing, don't we? But instead of snow, we spray snow around the window frames. It's so tacky.
Yeah.
We eat a hot roast dinner, but all the aircon's up to the max. It's
It probably won't snow here either. So don't.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Global warming.
How long have you been here now, Trevor?
Off and on. I could go back home every year. I've been here 18 years.
So why, though?
Why? I like England. I quite like it, actually. But, for 6 months a year, 8 months a year is enough.
All right, so you actually go back for a good 4 months?
Yeah, for 4 months.
So you don't hardly go back at all, do you?
I do, maybe once a year for the Melbourne Comedy Festival, and then I string it out and do some other stuff at the Fringe. So then that means I catch up with all my family. Not going this year, though. Mm. It's nice if you can do that, because it breaks up the deep winter here in the UK.
Yeah.
And you go back to Adelaide? Is that where your family's
from? No, I go back to Sydney.
Right.
I've got my family in Adelaide. I go visit them.
Yeah.
And then, but I've got my flat in
Sydney. Are they still bitter that the Grand Prix was taken away?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah. They designed the whole town up the East End for the Grand Prix.
They pretty much didn't. They just went, see ya.
Stole it. Unbelievable, isn't it?
But yeah, so it's kind of... Adelaide is one of the weirdest places I've ever been to.
Yeah. It's very conservative, but on the other end of the scale, it's very perverted.
Well, that's what I mean. When you say the other end of the scale, the first time I went there was a kind of Buddhist restaurant, and beside it, a biker's bar.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So it's kind of, you just go and...
It's religious. There's a religious element to it, the city of churches.
City of churches, yeah. But then you've got, the biggest serial killers come
from...
Yeah,
I think conservatism...
Is that just a thing people say?
I mean, have you met people from Adelaide, like Trevor's
Trevor, have you killed anyone?
No, I've thought about doing it.
Oh, yeah, every day.
Haven't we?
Mainly at Christmas.
Just recently, actually. I often think about killing people.
Yeah, public transport.
It's just a fantasy that I actually never carried out.
Whereas I have fully carried it out.
But you're brought up in farmland, yeah?
That's right. Near a lake, on a lake, actually. Not on the lake. Not on a pontoon floating, but facing the lake. Yeah. Thanks more detail? Do you want some more detail? Yeah. I can drill it down. Yeah. It was a beautiful lake. And then I went to university in Melbourne and never really looked back. Well, actually, I looked forward because I moved across to London and, like Trevor, love it here.
How long have you been here then?
About 15 years, 14, okay. 15 years.
But see, I don't understand it. Like, you know, I've been to Australia four times. I couldn't live there. But if I was born there and stuff, I'd live there.
You think it's too isolated? Or...
Well... If you don't know any better, it isn't isolated, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is, like, obviously you two are doing comedy, but when you go into a bar and you see some Aussie on, like, £5 an hour, you know, having to deal with drunks, you're going, why are you putting yourself through this?
I don't understand that either, because I've had Aussie friends who've moved over here and backpacked, and maybe back at home in Australia they're, like, an accountant or whatever, something that's, like, reasonably good income, and they come here... And they live above a pub and they get paid £5 an hour. And then they whinge about, like, London being overcrowded and underpaid and, it's terrible. And you're like, but you never gave it a chance. Like, you chose to live like that. I don't get it.
Do those people eventually move back or...?
And they whinge about London. Yeah, they go back.
Or do you kill them, Trevor?
I kill them.
Mercy killing.
Yeah, mercy killing, that's right.
It's going, look, it isn't really working out.
The thing
out
is, in Australia now, we've got quite good unions as far as all that service industry goes. So those people, the bar staff and waiters, on quite good money. So you don't have to tip in Australia.
Because minimum wage is good, yeah.
Yeah, because their wage is quite good. So we're not obliged to tip. But over here, you feel compelled to tip because there's some kind of...
What, a bar?
No, restaurants and things like that. We'd never dream of tipping in Australia.
I ate out yesterday, and I hate that when they compulsory put the
that's cheeky.
On.
Yeah, you have to
and
check
also,
that.
Then they said, and it was quite expensive as well. And they said, and if you wouldn't mind, we're running a charity where if you give us an extra pound for the homeless, good. Why don't you fucking give them the pound? I've just given you all the money.
Yeah, McDonald's is a bit.
And also,
nowadays,
I don't need you to
it.
Tell me who to give charity to as well.
Yeah.
So I gave them no pound.
Yeah. You give homeless people money generally, like if you're in the street? And...
No, I actually... I've given shelter quite a lot of money, actually.
Yeah.
Because, the fact
and
that...
And also comics
house...
do gigs as well, like charity gigs left, right and centre, so...
I haven't done it.
Yeah, but you get paid for that.
Yeah.
Not always, actually.
It's weird. People will be very surprised that comics do get paid for charity gigs.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Or you get some crisps and a...
You're supposed to give it back, though. You're supposed to give it back, apparently, ethically, but I mean, fuck that.
You don't, strike me as that kind of. So I haven't seen you in ages, Trevor. Like, obviously I saw Sarah's comedy recently, but like I saw you in Melbourne. It must be about 20 years ago.
Yeah, the Prince Pat.
Yeah. And I was stoned.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But it was one of the funniest gigs I've ever seen in my life.
It was full of lesbians, that place. Well, remember that?
It was only me. It was only me, my brother and I who were laughing.
Yeah, probably.
But it was so funny.
All these embittered lesbians who...
I quite like the Prince Pat. Maybe that's what I dig on,
probably
you embittered lesbians.
When I was there, I used to do, like, autobiographical routines about my wife, so the lesbians took that to be me being misogynistic. So... When I mentioned I did a joke about wanking us or something like that. Anyway, some pretty base sort of stuff, but they took they got offended by it, started to heck on me and all that sort of.
Was it a lesbian night out?
Yeah,
it was a big
lesbian.
How
night
did
out.
I? What was I doing there?
Well, you were stoned. You
I was wearing Dr. Martens and when you come in, it's just through there on the right.
But, yeah, I've got no time.
We've got this the misogynist comics coming on in the minute. So what kind of stuff are you doing now then? Because you get into trouble a lot.
I do, actually.
People get up and punch you in the face.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I got attacked a few times.
Oh, my days.
Very quietly spoken, but I got attacked once in...
the silent assassin.
Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
I'm very big in Papua New Guinea.
So I hear.
Big fan base. But I was doing a gig as a corporate. They flew me there. It's a horrible place. Papua New Guinea, Port Moresby. It's like full of rascals. They call these people. You've got the Highlands, and the young people in the Highlands are basically warriors, and they get bored shitless of fucking what to do in the Highlands, right? So they come down to the city.
Well, are they kind of like the Maoris, like they were warriors?
Yeah. Okay. So they're warriors. They're massive. And they come to the city, Port Moresby, and you can't employ them because they're fucking uneducated psychopaths, right? So they turn to crime. And they're very good at crime, and they murder and they rape.
No,
and
keep on going, because we haven't got a big fan base in Papua New Guinea,
so anyway,
I've got many complaints.
I think there's a lot of human rights abuses too, aren't there? Like accusations of witchery and a lot of mutilation, and it's horrific.
Not the ideal place to do a corporate.
And was there a bunch of warrior lesbians in it?
A lot of people who are thrown out of Australia from public service end up working in Port Moresby in the public service up there.
Actually, is Papua New Guinea... Now, tell me if I'm wrong. Is that where they... Because I saw a documentary where Australians have paid some country to take all the...
Yeah,
immigrants.
That's right. They did have some...
That's Papua New Guinea, is it?
Yeah. I think they're getting...
One of the places,
it,
yeah.
But anyway, I'm doing this gig. And
So was it for expats type thing?
Yeah, expats, yeah, or public servants. Just human garbage, basically. But the I was going all right. I did a joke about God, right? And next minute, this big fat bloke, pissed out of his head, he just sort of stood up and said, "You're doing a joke about God, you fucking arsehole." Yeah, and he comes through the crowd and he gets on the stage. People are laughing. I think it's like part of the show. And he grabbed me. And I was very underweight then. I weighed 58 kilograms and I was on a fast. I was very weakened.
But you're not exactly big now.
No, but I'm 12 stone now. And then I was like 8 stone. I was in a very feeble state. And he grabbed me.
How
and
dare he attack a...
He just grabbed me.
8 stone feeble man.
And then he's... We're tussling on the stage, and so I started the mic. I was halfway through the gig, and then everyone's laughing part of the show. Yeah. And then they fuck, it's serious, and they broke us up. And then he ran off, and then I heard someone say, "Oh fuck, he's going to get his gun." They have a gun in the car. He's had a gun in the car. So they ran after him, and they convinced him that it wasn't worth.
Did you get an encore?
Killing. I continued with continued with my spot.
What a job! What a job!
So I did my spot another 10 minutes. And I went really obscene then about religion. I started doing jokes about
it. And did they love that?
Oh, they loved it, yeah.
Right.
And he would have killed me, no doubt, if he'd got back in. But they gave me a $100 bonus.
Were you a little bit worried when you were leaving the venue that it was going to come out of the bush or something?
Yeah, the next morning, I had the earliest flight out. They changed my flights very, very early. And they said, don't leave the hotel. You can't leave the hotel anyway because it's like, you know, rascals everywhere. And I just fucking...
That's such a gorgeous euphemism, rascals.
Yeah, that's right.
Pesky
like
imps.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Sarah, have you had problems on stage?
Not like that. I've never been I've never been shot at or punched or whatever. And the worst heckle I ever had was a 4-year-old girl was in the front row of some very strange...
Did you say a 4-year-old girl?
Yeah, I mean, for starters, that's problematic, isn't it? So she sat in the front row with her mum and, we kept saying, does she want to be here? Is that... Anyway, they persisted. Show was all right, but a bit weird. There were these guys sat at the bar up the back, really quite like, "Oh, get your top off," to every single act. Pretty horrific.
That was quite nice, because you just get your tits out. Yes.
I mean,
posh audience.
Maybe they meant, like, get your top
Take
off.
Take your top off. It's really... It's quite warm in here. Yeah.
I'm worried about you. You'll catch your death in it. And they all, what is it, you won't feel the benefit, that, maybe. Yeah. So these guys were sort of quite, let's say, brash, if we're dealing in euphemisms.
Were they rascals?
They were rascals for the whole duration of the show, and I was comparing. Every actor kind of got it. And at one point I said something that even the guy sort of laughed at, got a bit of a laugh, like, you know, sort of retaliated or some heckle response. I can't remember. And I thought, okay, good, we can move on. And I looked down, and a little girl was crying, and her mum was sort of like, "Oh, don't worry about it, just continue on with the show." And I was like, no, what's wrong with her? Like, are you okay, honey? And then she looked up and she said, "Leave my daddy alone." And there was a beat when me, the audience, everyone kind of went, "What does that, huh, who?" And then I realised that she meant the guys at the bar. That was her dad was heckling, like saying, "Get your tits out," in front of his 4-year-old daughter. And I was just like, "Oh Jesus!"
That kid's
kid.
Have you kept in touch with Facebook or?
Yeah, she's a really famous comedian now. She's got this damaged upbringing.
Are they still together?
No, I don't know. No idea.
What age is the kid now? Yeah.
I don't know. Well, that was like 10 years
ago.
Hope
that kid has a nice Christmas, Trevor. Unlike me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
Can get her over, really. You're going to give her a better Christmas than she's...
You've got to say, I mean, comedy is about self-expression, so I think you should be able to say anything. But people do. I don't think I'm offensive at all. I'm very matter-of-fact about some pretty heavy issues, but to me it's, well, fuck, how can you get offended by it? But they do, you know.
More and more so now, and what I find, which is really kind of disturbing, is they don't listen to what you say, but if you mention something...
Yeah, like trigger word, isn't it?
Yeah, a trigger word, they just go, "Oh, God, how could you do that?"
Yeah.
So, but that's really weird. But I'll stand my ground each time.
Yeah.
I think, like, you've got to take each comedian on their intent. Like,
yeah.
I think if there's thought behind what people are saying, or if they're being silly or whatever, like, that's fine. But some comics are button pressers, and I find it real boring.
Just
I'm not offended. I'm just bored of it.
But I remember I did this gig in Bristol, and like, it was an hour show, and it was actually near Christmas time because I haven't got a life. And I did this line near the start where, and it's just your usual comedy kind of misdirection gag about, you know, New Year's Eve, which I hate as well. I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I hate that. Yeah, it's another one.
Your missus will be in another room that night. But and I pretty much, you know, did this routine about how I was with this woman and she kept on referring to champagne as shampoo. And like, she kept on saying, when are we opening the shampoos? And the time we opened the shampoo.
Man, that is tedious.
And then stroke of midnight, you know exactly what I did. And people, you know, I just know they're thinking, yeah, you gave her some shampoo. And I go, no, I punched her really hard in the face. And it was just misdirection, right? Mm. And it was right at the start of the set. And, like, then this woman came up to me afterwards and said, I really love that, but I didn't like that joke about punching women in the face because I'd been a victim of domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, you know, I appreciate that, but you did stay for the whole hour, so you weren't offended. Mm. But then I thought about it, and I don't actually punch women in the face, so I dropped
it. Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, there's that kind of yin and yang to it as well.
Yeah.
Because like, you don't ever write jokes in that sense. But most comics don't these days. It's just about...
No. I mean, it depends on you. I'm very self-effacing in my act, so anything I say is diffused a little bit by my somewhat pitiful disposition on stage. So I'm not aggressive with it. I'm quietly spoken. And I put more shit on me than anyone
else. I think it's tougher if you've got, like, a jock who's, like, you know, I don't know. Yeah, like, was it... What's his name? Tosh. David Tosh.
Lester
Daniel
Pickett.
Tosh.
Oh, you mean jock, sorry.
Yes. Like, I think he's young and handsome and buff. And you know what I mean? Like, kind of tight T-shirt wearing guy, Hollywood-looking dude.
You shagged him, didn't you? You know too much about
him. We had a great time. But turns out he's got a heart of gold.
Did he say, Sarah, take your top off?
Those guys are never good at sex, guys. You don't want to have sex with them because they're way too handsome to be good at it. That's a rule.
This is from experience?
I don't know. I've never had sex because I'm not married.
Trevor?
Do you see a wedding ring?
No. I'm not very good at sex.
No, really. Neither am I.
No. I guess I
think it's overrated.
Can't wait to find out if I'm good.
Technically deficient, I think, is what it is.
Like, I remember someone, I was seeing a comic once, and people, you know, the way you get that kind of green room talk, and the guys were going, what's she like when she orgasms? And I go, we never really got that far.
Yeah.
You know, because it's just that thing of. I feel sorry for women in that sense. How do you feel about that, Sarah?
About what?
Because men tend to come and then it's over before you do.
I guess when I get married, I'll find out. It'll be real good. It'll be really, really great.
Oh, you're a virgin, yeah?
Yeah, of course. I'm not married. Yeah. Like, I don't know how you guys have had sex.
I don't think folks are listening. Well, yeah. I was Catholic, so of course I had sex.
Yeah.
What religion were you, Trevor?
We're Catholic, yeah.
Really?
We're all Catholic. Yeah, yeah. Two-thirds of Australia is Catholic, so more often than not, you'll find that Aussies are Catholic.
Yeah, but, like, your way of worshipping is, like, to have
super
a barbecue,
chilled.
Isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah.
No,
you don't go into buildings.
No, but, I mean, you're a bit younger than me, aren't you? I think you're a bit younger, so... But you went through the... Thanks very much. I'm not saying you look younger, I'm just saying you are chronological.
Oh,
he giveth and taketh away.
Yeah, yes, what was that?
But I am gonna,
I think you're both beautiful and handsome
For the first
men.
Time ever, I'm going to post a picture of one of our guests, Trevor. And just put that...
Oh, I was going to take
put
a photo.
That thing on and just go, apparently Trevor's better looking than me.
Yeah, my hair is my high point.
You've kept it all.
It's nice. I mean, I'm telling you guys, I'm internet dating, and as you scroll through men in their 30s and 40s, there's none.
Have you met anyone from that then?
Sure. I have, actually. It's a pretty grim experience, internet dating, particularly if you're a comic. And I don't think this is just for girl comics. I think boy and girl comics find it tough because the second they find out what your job is, they Google you, they watch clips, they write back to you. And some men are a little bit threatened by, like,
you put your home address on the webpage, yeah?
My home address.
Yeah, they write back to you.
No, not like, they don't pen a letter. They don't
Dear
send
Sarah,
an emissary.
I've been wanking over you all night.
And there's like a man on a pony and there's like a wax seal on the scroll. No, none of that stuff. I wish.
Dating? Is it like speed dating?
Yeah, it's pretty grim.
Did you say speed dating?
Yeah. You know, when they have about 30
I know what it was, but that was a bit of a leap from internet dating to...
Yeah, I thought it was similar, though. Wasn't it?
Sarah in a massive
hurry. Well, it isn't that it's that formalised and clinical. It's super weird. It's kind of the American style of dating, isn't it? Internet dating and speed dating. Like, well, I'm all dolled up and pick you up at 8, or, you know, like, I'm going to walk in and never have met you before and there we are and now we're having a drink and hello and what do you do? Oh, it's so creepy.
I hate it. Do you watch the program First Dates?
I've seen it once.
Yeah.
I watch that and I really like it, right? But I just want two little things, right? Once, because you know, if you meet someone at a blind date, you don't know what you're getting. Yeah. I just want ones where they go into the bar and they see who they put them up and go, fuck that shit, and walk straight out.
You can see it in their eyes, and, though. They don't say it, but you can see when they absolutely. Think that. They go, lovely to meet you.
You just know it's going to be 2 hours of hell. Mm. But the other thing, which I think is actually disgraceful, what they do is because they match them off the way they see it. Mm. So you'll see a guy who's not that good looking, and you're going, a minger's going to walk in a second. And I think it's horrible the way they do that. They've decided this is where you're going with this. Don't you think that's a bit controlling, if anything else?
It's telly, man. We can't expect them to be moral.
That's the way of the world, isn't it? Everything has to be done fast and you know...
Says the slowest talker in the world.
Hey?
Says the slowest talker in the world.
Yeah, you think I'm slow?
Everything
I'm
has to be done fast.
I'm a slow talk. Quick thinking.
I'm glad you weren't in the in Westerns. I can imagine, pull your... Oh, shot. But it's... So, Trevor, how did you meet your missus then?
I've been married twice. I met her at a gig in
the
Paris.
First...
Yeah, married a Chinese. Yeah. Well, that was a total fucking disaster, that one. Jesus Christ.
So was it culturally kind of weird?
Yeah, culturally. And she's...
Was she Australian Chinese?
No, she's a full-blown Chairman Mao's fucking Red Brigade or
did
something.
Did you speak Mandarin or Cantonese? Oh,
no, she spoke very bad broken English, but I'm very good at picking up.
Did you play the Mandarin?
No.
But the loot.
Yeah. So where did you meet her, then?
I met her in Canberra. A friend of mine said he had a blind date. He was working with her. He had a date with her. He said, you want to come along? You know, I don't feel comfortable. You can make a few jokes and be, you know, get
oh, my
going.
Days. He invited you on his date?
Yeah, that's right. So I went there and he had no idea. Fucking useless. So I chatted her and we got on quite well. She spoke broken English, but I'm very good at picking up cues. I just need one key word in a sentence and I know... The sentence more.
Go,
that's right, yeah.
So, now, yeah. Trevor.
Anyway, my friend said, listen, Trevor, this is the truth of the matter. She wants to stay in Australia. She needs a passport really all badly. Right. You're fucking useless. You're on your own. You got a biscuits in the fridge. You can't look after yourself. You just
something in the fridge.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
chocolate
mate.
Biscuits.
Oh, God. The guy's stale, mate.
So they said you should marry her. A friend of mine said, marry her. You got fuck all to lose. And he was wrong.
But so what? You married her straight away?
More or less, yeah, a couple of months.
Oh, my days.
Was there some ching-ching in it?
Oh, no. It's totally... She wanted to stay in Australia. And
but
I,
you must have known that wasn't going to work.
Oh, yeah, but I thought, I'll risk it, because I've got fucking nothing to
risk
lose.
Risk it for a biscuit.
Risk it for a biscuit. And I
were
thought,
the biscuits better after that?
No, she was a very good cook, actually, so I took the biscuits out of the fridge and put proper food in there. And she was a great cook, you know, she was fantastic.
So straight away did it start going wrong?
Yeah, within 3 days. She was a control freak. She said, can you wash your feet before you go to bed? She had brought about a bucket.
My days.
So it's a good idea. I mean, I think washing your feet before going to bed is probably good.
Yeah, Jesus used to do it, didn't he?
I believe so. I love that you looked at me, the Catholic. We're all Catholic guys.
Yeah. No, but I just thought I'd been talking to Trevor. I didn't want to
Yes, as an authority, that's true. Jesus did used to do that.
It's nice. I think it's probably nice, but she was very... Every night, the same shit, and I got the shits with it and I kicked
But did you have a bath or a shower during the day?
Yeah, all that sort of shit, but she had to clean... She'd bathe my feet with a cloth on that.
Oh, I quite like that.
It's all nice, isn't it?
Is she single now?
She's very demanding about it. I'll do it, but not every night. But she said, no, every night. And in the end, I said, get fucked, and I booted the bucket, you know, kicked the bucket right up the fucking other end of the house, and that was, you know... And it was my fault, really. I thought she was, you know, she had some reasonable points about the whole thing. But then, you know, it just started to deteriorate, and then sex fucking went downhill, because when you're not getting on generally, she was very domineering and a bit Hitlerite, I suppose you'd say, a bit like Hitler.
So did you actually get divorced then?
We got divorced after 5 years, but we lived together for another five in separate rooms. So
you like the whole separate room, where like
And then I met the present wife, Julia, who's a lovely.
I thought you were going to say I met the president. I was going, tell us this story.
I met Julia, who's lovely, but at the same time, I was spinning plates basically. I still had my Chinese lady back there.
Oh my goodness!
We weren't really romantically involved. Sex had stopped.
But did you kind of stay involved to let her stay in the country? Well, that was kind of sweet.
Yeah. When you have a bond with someone, even though you've split up, you sort of got that bond.
I think once someone's washed your feet, there's a bond.
Yeah,
it is that thing, that human kind of error, in a sense, where they obviously never go back. But when it doesn't work out in a relationship, you still try and kind of go, oh, well.
I've tried that.
I'll muddle through.
I loved her, you know what I mean? Yeah. I loved her. I mean, it's sort of, it's funny when you love someone, you're sort of addicted to someone. It's like a chemical thing when they're not there.
And I often wonder about monogamy. Is it the illness, you know? Like, you are, it is an addiction, you know, an obsession, and especially if you're annoying each other at home, you're too domesticated or whatever.
But have you lived with people, though, Sarah?
I have. Like, I had a long, long time partner.
Not your parents, but other people.
Yeah, other people. Yeah, I'm allowed out of the house now. I've been allowed into society, and I have lived. I have cohabited. Mm. Yeah, I think almost it does take away the romance, doesn't it? Like once you see someone, you have to wash their feet, take their biscuits out of the fridge.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you've dealt with someone's biscuits and feet,
once you start sharing the same toilet, I think the romance is done.
Oh heavens,
You strike me as you might be handy. I can imagine you when you got married going. You know, just putting the two toilets in, men, women.
No, we shared the same one, but the other was...
And so where did you meet Julia?
I met Julia at a gig in Paris. There was a bloke...
Romantic.
Yeah, very romantic. And I was doing it with Adam Bloom, dear old Adam.
Aww.
And she sort of talked to me.
Just to let the listeners know, Adam Bloom isn't dead.
That's right.
No, it did sound like it, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hi, Adam, if you're listening.
Dear old Adam.
But and she talked to me afterwards, and she said I look vulnerable. And then which I am very vulnerable. And then I did a gig at the Improv. They had an Improv in London, and she came to review it for some website, and she gave me a good review, so I phoned her up to thank her for the review. And then she invited me out to a comedy club, and then we sort of had a one-night stand, I suppose you call it. But then she...
Was it quite vulnerable?
Yeah, very vulnerable on both parts. I thought she was very vulnerable, and I was too.
Maybe she liked your soft feet and liked that you don't keep biscuits in the fridge anymore.
Quite
did you actually... Make her wash your feet that night?
No.
Was it weird being with a woman who didn't wash your feet?
Off,
but with the one-night stand, did you... This is in London.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So did
you
stay the night or did you sneak
I stayed the night. Then I was staying at Ed Burns' place and I'd been there for 5 months because he went to Australia and he gave me his place for 5 months for nothing, but he was coming back and he wanted me to leave.
Did you try and sell it in the meantime?
And he said, can you leave? He said it nicely. And I said to her, I've got nowhere to stay. And she said, well, you can come and stay with me. So I moved in, and I've been there like 18 years.
Well,
she meant for the weekend, by the way. But
this show is for the romantics, really. Like basically, Trevor just said, well, I met her. Her biggest compliment was you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Had a one-night stand, and then you get nowhere to live.
And then I needed a sofa, so...
I heard a story about you, Trevor, and I just want to know if it's true, because it's really funny.
Mm.
And it's where basically you were living with someone, another comic, and he came in for a night, and he just went into the sitting room, and the light was off, and he turned on the telly, and there was a boxing match on, and he was watching that, and after 10 minutes, you said your first word, like, he's fucking brutal, right?
Hey, what?
He's fucking brutal. Something like that, but fact that you didn't say anything for 10 minutes, just sat there in the dark.
Oh, did I really?
So maybe that's not true.
Probably isn't true.
Oh, that's spoiled the day
for
me.
It's not that funny. You fucked up. No, it's a story.
It's funny in the sense of your character just...
Yeah. I'm really quite friendly, though. Look at me. Can't shut me up today. I'm fucking very tired.
No, but that's what I mean. I like the idea of you just being in a dark room and just...
Oh, yeah, I'm in the dark room. I do
but are you quite good with silence as well?
Yes, I am, yeah. In my act, I get a lot of silence. but in between the jokes... I don't mind silence. It doesn't bother me at all. You know, some comics panic when there's a silence. Yeah. They go, oh, fuck it. You know, but I don't.
Some people in general, like, they can't just chill.
You've got to relax, you've done three good jokes on the trot.
I think Sarah's talking about life in general.
I mean life in general as well. You really know that you know someone when you can start to just be quiet around them.
Yeah.
And not feel like if you're on a long drive or whatever.
I remember when I brought out a book years ago and they give you a PR person for the whole day.
Mm.
And she was obviously a bit nervous, but she wouldn't stop talking. And I just turned to her after half an hour and said, I'm very comfortable with silence.
Jesus Christ.
We went out together for 6 months.
That's a withering reply, isn't it?
I said it in a very nice
way. PR girls do like to talk. That is their thing.
Irish people are very straightforward.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't... I guess it can come across as rude.
Aussies can be, too. We
Australians
can be quite
rude. Frank and...
Yeah, but you kind of... Like, Australians tend to shout their rudeness. Well...
Yeah.
Like, you're the exception there, Trevor.
Yeah,
quiet voice.
Yeah.
But were you always quiet as a kid as well?
Yeah, I was actually, yeah. I'm sort of quiet and very introverted in a lot of ways.
Really? You don't shout?
Yeah. Just introverted.
You've hidden that very well.
Vulnerable.
And so with the 2 years, so like you're going to stay in London for the foreseeable. Obviously, you'll be going back to Sydney
back,
for four months.
I love London.
Do you do gigs when you go to Sydney?
Yeah, yeah. There's only limited. There's fuck all happening in Australia, mate.
Well, I remember I did a gig in Sydney again years ago, and up on the notice board was a postcard from you living in London, and you went, "The pommies aren't as good as us, mate."
Oh, is that what I said? Yeah. Oh, fuck, changed my mind. Yeah,
but it was quite sweet that you gave them encouragement, like, you know.
The,
Sarah Redden came over.
Well, I was one of the first ones to come here on the Australian. Yeah. Adam Hills followed me, and Steve Hughes, and all they came after me. Kitty Flanagan.
You were the Maverick, yeah.
I was the Maverick, yeah.
I love Kitty Flanagan. Sarah Kendall as well, that's another one.
So have we started the quiz of just naming Australian comics?
Oh,
no, it doesn't say
I think we can win that. Yeah. That's a quiz I can win.
Yeah, but no, I was a pioneer.
And so, legally, because you're part of the Commonwealth. But don't you have to kind of get visas all the time?
No, I got a British... I was born in England.
What?
Yes, right.
Uh-oh.
You've just been lying to us for the whole show.
God. No, I was born in Congleton, up north, and then we emigrated on that £10 migrant thing.
Right.
And then we went
to
Adelaide.
So what age were you then? 28?
Nine.
Nine. So that must have been a big kind of weird thing. Because I had the same thing when I was five.
Yeah, where did you go?
India. No,
oh, you went to India?
No, I was born in London, and then we moved. This is how much
You're not really Irish.
This is how much my parents loved me, right? In 1970, in the height of the Troubles, we moved back to Dublin from London.
Whoa.
I had a Cockney accent.
Oh, did you really?
Oh, dear.
So,
ouch.
Can you imagine how popular I am? They're going, no surrender. And I go, all right, mate, how are you doing?
Yeah, right.
This might
Very
be
popular.
Your comedian origin story,
yeah, I
think.
Yeah, I think it did start, actually, that
way. Right.
This is why. Little outsider, Sean.
I think that's one. I think I've got an English brain, but an Australian accent, really. I think my brain is sort of English. I was born here, so I'm genetically English, but my brain is one thing, and my demeanour is another.
Do you feel this is home, then?
Hard to say. I mean, it's... I'm split, really. I think Australia's home, but I'm quite happy in England. And I've got a British passport, so...
Sarah, what's the situation with your visa?
I don't have
just
a British...
Just the customs have asked me to...
In that case, if you use my real surname, Sarah Smith, so that's not my surname, because then I'd be Sarah Smith.
I'll interrupt you, but your name, right, again, what's it? Sarah...
So, it's Sarah Bonetto, but...
See, I love that. So, Sarah Bonetto, right, Trevor Crook... If I was watching a movie, the star of the film would be Sarah Bonetto, starring Sarah Bonetto.
Thanks,
and it'd be like colour recordist Trevor Crook.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've got that name, haven't I?
Colour recordist name. I've always thought that about you.
I'm proud of my name.
It's actually a Cornish surname. It's super boring, actually, the etymology.
But don't say it, though.
No, I know, but people are always like, are you Italian? Nope. It's Cornish. Jago is an Italian surname as well. Cornish surname. It's an old Cornish word. But we're Cornish, and I feel like I've had like English partners here before, and I'm like, this could be.
And the question I asked was,
don't even know.
How do you get here with the visa? And then you start going on about the origins of surnames.
It's great, isn't it? It's a great story.
No, but how?
So I have a leave to remain visa, and I haven't yet gone for my British passport, but I could, I suppose. And with the Brexit result, I'm like, might be a good time to go for that.
Right. So, was it planned to leave or something?
Yeah, I met someone who was English, and I ended up staying because of that person.
No, but like, so do you have to get a new visa every year type thing?
No. Indefinite leave to remain rolls on and on forever. Wow. But if you leave the country for more than 2 years, for 6 months at a time or whatever, you risk it. So when I go and
Trevor
do festivals
sometimes goes
abroad,
for walks that long.
It's true.
Lost track of time,
it's
love.
It's very complicated and incredibly expensive, visas and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm glad
Scam.
That stuff's behind me. And that's why I sort of put off the admin of the British passport, because I'm like, I know I could pass the Britishness test because I had to do it for my last visa, but the expense
is
thousands and thousands.
Yeah.
But there's an argument for getting it. Be nice to have dual citizenship. You've got it then. You've got an Aussie passport as well.
I'm Australian resident, British citizen.
That sounds like a great Beastie Boys song.
Really?
Australian resident, English. So anyway, we've been ignoring Professor Bradley of ours. So how do you think Christmas does affect the lonely Professor?
Well, it's terrible, really.
Oh.
You've flown all the way in just to say that?
Yeah.
Well, listen, thanks very much for that. You've been listening to Sarah Benetti.
Is that it?
Don't even. Oh, then people will be like, she's Italian. Sean Hughes confirmed it. But, Sarah Benetti.
We've gone over.
Have we already?
Yeah, it's just I'm such a good host.
You booked two laconic Australian, you know. Yeah.
You're English anyway, not even Irish.
Yeah.
I used to get that all the time, so it doesn't worry me. Water off duck's back.
Yeah.
But just check your bag while you're leaving. There might be some device.
I've got a really excellent...
I mean, mobile, you know.
Oh, I thought there were some flowers or chocolates.
You could.
You know that show you had on TV years ago? It's like a surreal...
Is it like really make me feel damn?
Oh, no.
First off, you're not Irish. And then go, remember that show you did? She really liked that. It was on about 20 years ago, was it?
Yeah.
Last time you were on TV?
It was like 10,
My old girlfriend, Bobby O'Rourke, big fan of yours.
Bobby O'Rourke, oh, one of my favourite songs. One of my favourite folk songs of all time.
I told her I was coming on to do the show. She's got tiny...
So we'll finish off and just we'll dedicate this to what was the Chinese wife's name?
Hong Shi Tang.
No, come on, seriously.
Oh, that's a Chinese name.
And you still keep in touch with
her? Hattie.
You still keep in touch with her?
Yeah. I talked to her about a week ago. We get on very well now. We don't see one another. Like a perfect relationship.
Do you ever miss the feet washing?
No, that's all over.
Is it just phone calls now?
A phone call, Skype. And when I'm in Sydney, I see her regularly.
And when you do Skype, do you start washing your feet? And go, does that turn you on?
She's like, I just called to check that you've got the biscuits in the cupboard, not the fridge.
And she's eating some fantastic food, and you're still eating beans on toast.
Yeah, no.
Listen, guys, thank you so much for coming in. You've been listening to Sean Hughes with Under the Radar. Go to see live comedy. Not at Christmas time, because those gigs are horrible. And if you're lonely,
I'm doing a Christmas show they should come to.
So did you not realise I was bringing up the show?
Yeah, I know, but I thought, you know what this script needs? A little bit of Benetto in the background. Yeah. Over
Benetto!
The
top.
Stop it!
So, thanks, guys. But also, as I say, this Christmas, you know, if you've got some spare food and stuff, we will let you know where Trevor lives.
That's right.
And if you could possibly just pop in and visit him, you know.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy.
What about me, mate?
Listen, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Have a lovely Christmas, everyone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.